From Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Leslie Curran here, saying hello and welcome once again in the Lord's precious name to our gospel program. Our preacher today is the Reverend Ian Brown, and he's letting the Bible speak on God's middleman. So do stay tuned for that important message coming up in a few moments after we hear this piece, Sunlight, Sunlight in My Soul Today.
Jesus came to me, and with the sunlight of His love did all my darkness flee. Sunlight, sunlight in my soul today. Sunlight, sunlight all along the way. Since the Savior found me, took away my sin, I have had the sunlight of His love within. Soon I shall see Him as He is, the light that came to me. Behold the brightness of His face throughout eternity. Sunlight, sunlight in my soul today. Sunlight, sunlight all along the way. Since the Savior found me, took away my sin, I have had the sunlight of His love within.
Some time ago, this notice appeared in a shop window in the north of England. These goods are cheap because we cut out the middleman. Believe me, when we come into the realm of religion, any brand of religion which cuts out God's middleman is bound to be cheap and worthless. Good morning. I'm Ian Brown, and in our message this morning, we're going to take a look at God's middleman, the Lord Jesus Christ. But before we get into the message, let's read a few words that are very relevant to our subject today from the New Testament epistle of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2, the verses 5 to 7. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. The middleman's a familiar figure in our modern world. We meet him in many areas of life. In the realm of law, for instance, between the accused at the bar and the judge on the bench, you've got the advocate, the barrister, the solicitor. It's his task to plead the cause of the defendant and try to secure his acquittal. In the realm of commerce, between the producer on the one hand and the customer on the other, there's the agent, the merchant, the distributor, the supplier, and it's his business to see that the goods manufactured reached the warehouse or the shop. Our God, too, has His middleman. 1 Timothy 2 and the verse 5 identifies him. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. One mediator, one middleman, and only one. It's been well said, there are 1,000 ways to Christ, but there is only one way to God, and Jesus is that way. Christ Jesus is the middleman between God and the soul. But why is a middleman necessary? Well, because of three things. First, we need a middleman because of the presence of sin. Sin always cuts the contact between man and God. It breaks the living link between them. John Hyde, the American missionary to India, put it pointedly when he said, "One sin costs us the presence of God." Well, if one sin costs us the presence of God, and as Romans 3 and 23 puts it, all have sinned and we've done it time without number, how are communications ever going to be restored between man and God? How is a guilty man and a holy God to be reconciled? How will they be brought into vital contact and touch once more? It's right here that the need for a middleman becomes obvious. And no one but Christ, who is both God and man, can meet the need. To do that, he had to pay an awful price. The picture was painted by the Royal Corps of Signals depicting an incident during World War I. A signaller, unarmed, lying out there in no man's land, had been sent out to repair a cable snapped by shell fire. The picture shows him lying dead in the fulfilment of his task, holding together in stiffening hands the broken ends, holding them in contact. Beneath the picture is the one word, through. That's quite a graphic picture of what Jesus did on Calvary. There he repaired the breakdown in relations between God and man. Stretching out his body on the cross, his arms extended wide, Jesus took on the one side the hand of a holy God, and on the other he took the hand of guilty man, and he brought those two hands together. Romans chapter 5 and verse 10 assures us that when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Colossians 1 verses 21 and 22 confirms that news, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. Christ has got us through. Nobody else could have done it. No human mediator, however self-sacrificial, could ever have met the cost of reconciling God and man. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Christ is the middleman between God and the soul in this business of sin. Have you got him? Has he connected you to God by his death and by his blood? Are you holding on to him for salvation? We need a middleman because of the presence of sin. But again, we need a middleman because of the presence of suffering. I'm talking about innocent suffering in particular. Shakespeare says of one of his characters, Macduff, that he lost all his pretty chicks at one swoop. When I move into the Word of God, I find that that's what happened to the character in God's Word called Job. With a single stroke, Job was robbed of everything. Cattle, donkeys, sheep, camels, servants, sons, daughters, all were gone. And then to make a multiple tragedy even worse, his wife began to nag at him, his so-called friends came along and misjudged and maligned him, telling him that all of this had happened to him because of some hidden sin that was in his life. Now Job knows that that's not true. He knows that he's done nothing wrong. He knows that, but they don't know. But how can he possibly convince them of his integrity when appearances all around are so dead set against him? He turns the matter over in his head. He's almost driven to distraction by it, until finally his soul releases a bitter cry. Job 9 and verse 33, he says, "Neither is there any dead man betwixt us that may lay his hand upon us both." The middleman again. We need a middleman between ourselves and God when we are faced with the fact of innocent suffering. Put in those circumstances of trial and trouble, many people have given up and questioned whether there can really be a loving personal purpose behind this universe at all. It's easy to believe in a God of love, in theory, provided you close your eyes to a whole range of facts that seem to militate against it. But practically, to believe in a God of love, in spite of some of the things which actually happen in the world, is often a desperately difficult thing. An evangelist recalled how he was once called to visit a grief-stricken mother. For years she'd been a sincere Christian, really knowing and loving the Lord, but when he called upon her that day, she had almost lost all sense of God's reality. Only a few hours before, she'd been walking with her only child along the pavement of a busy street, and the little girl had been killed when she ran out after a ball in front of a passing lorry. It wasn't going to be an easy task to speak to that woman about a God of love. Urgently, almost frantically, the preacher felt the need for this middleman, someone to calm, someone to soothe that poor, broken woman. He needed a middleman, and in Christ he found him. Pointing to the cross, the preacher was able to quote to that mourning mother the moving lines of Michael Bruce. "In every pang that rends the heart, the man of sorrows had a part. He sympathizes with our grief, and to the sufferer sends relief." We need a middleman because of the presence of sin, because of the presence of suffering. Then again, we need a middleman because of the presence of secrecy. Who can claim to understand everything that happens to us in the world today? In this world, we live in a land of mists and shadows. Solution? We need a middleman. And once again, we find him in Christ Jesus. Ian McPherson tells of the time when he was a lad at school in Scotland. In the classroom, they had a large globe. On that was painted the map of the world. Now and then, when McPherson was in a kind of a serious mood, he would slowly spin the globe around with the tips of his fingers. Tokyo, Toronto, Iceland, New Zealand. As McPherson looked at those names, he often wondered whether the cartographer could be trusted or not. I mean, those black dots, small or large, and those brilliantly painted areas on the map represented towns, cities and countries which, for all he knew, might exist nowhere else than in the cartographer's own imagination. How was he to know that they weren't mere figments of his fancy? He says, "I'll tell you what I did with that map maker. I checked up on him within the region where I could put him to the proof. I looked in the globe for a place called Edinburgh, and I found it. I looked for a place called Glasgow, and I found it. I looked for a place called Aberdeen, and I found it. Thus, to my own satisfaction, I established the fact that the cartographer was correct insofar as I was then able to verify his reckonings. And afterwards I went on to make what I felt was a warrantable deduction from the evidence. I argued like this: if the map maker is right, and if I have discovered that he's right within the range of my present experience, surely I may justly presume that he's right also, with reference to areas beyond my present experience. Meantime, I'll take his word for it, trust him where I can't trace him, and some day I'll find that he was absolutely true in regard to all the places marked on his map." That's how it must be between our souls and Christ. There are some things that he says which for the moment I can't put to the test. For example, he tells me that in his Father's house are many mansions. He tells me that he will come again, and he'll come in power and great glory. He says that one day he will establish the kingdom of heaven upon earth. Obviously, I have no way of checking up on these tremendous assertions at this moment in time. But I don't doubt, and I don't discredit, and I don't deny them on that account, for there are other things that Jesus has said that I can, here and now, check out. Think of some of them. He says in Matthew 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And with the hymn writer Horatius Bonner, I can testify, "I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad." Jesus also says in John 7 and verse 37, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Again, I can testify from my own experience. I came to Jesus, and I drank of that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched, my soul revived, and now I live in him. Because I've proved that Jesus is true within the region of my own experience, I go on to trust him in those regions where I can at present have no personal first-hand knowledge whatsoever. We need a middleman in the face of the facts of sin, of innocent suffering, of secrecy. Who's standing for you today? Is Jesus Christ your middleman?
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust that you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. We're on the air here on Gospel AM each morning, Monday to Friday at 9:30. So do remember to join us at this time as we let the Bible speak.